We turn in God's Word tonight to two passages in the Gospel according to Matthew. We're first going to read a few verses out of Matthew 4, and then after that we'll turn to Matthew 9. The text tonight is Matthew 9, verse 9. It's the calling of Matthew to be one of Jesus' disciples. It's in Matthew 4 that we read of the calling of other of the disciples as well. So we'll read verses 18 through 22. 18 through 22. We'll begin at verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now we turn to Matthew 9, and we'll read the first 13 verses of that chapter. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." And he rose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice.' For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Thus far we read God's holy, inspired word. The text tonight is verse 9. As he passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this word. Father in heaven, as those who are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as those who know Jesus Christ and the redeeming work that he has accomplished with that precious blood, as those who know our mediator, Jesus Christ, as those who have been considering in the past weeks his atoning sacrifice and what he did in his suffering to pay for all of our sins, we desire to learn how to live out of that. We desire, Father, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of what it is to be Christians and what it is to be Christ-like. And now, Father, as we consider a series on discipleship, we pray that from that perspective of discipleship, we may learn what it is to be followers of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But Father, impress upon our hearts through the word that we hear tonight and in the coming weeks as well, how we are to live as servants of Christ and as followers of Christ. May we be those who are imitators of Him in our lives, as Thou art a God who is molding us and shaping us to be like Him. We pray then that Thou will give strength to Thy servant as he proclaims this word tonight and in the coming weeks as well, as he studies from the Holy Scriptures what true discipleship is. Through that, we pray then that we would learn, but also that we would live what it is that we hear. May we be those who are willing to forsake all to follow Jesus in our lives on a daily basis. We ask now, Father, that Thou will keep us in Thy care and keep our focus upon this word in this time that we are together. All this we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. As you know, in the past weeks, we have been looking at the atoning suffering of our Savior Jesus Christ in the series that we had, the last series we had in Isaiah 53. And what an impression that made upon us of the things that our Savior endured in order to atone for our sins. Last week as well, we were encouraged by the victory of Jesus Christ in His resurrection from the dead. And we were strengthened in our faith in that resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope and the comfort that that gives to us. After hearing these things, we now turn to a new series. A series on discipleship. Now, I mentioned the other ones because really the series on discipleship flows out of what we've been looking at. We've heard of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, what God has done for us in Him. Now we turn to how we are to live as His people, as Christians, as those who are His disciples. We receive the comfort that we need. Now we consider in some sermons, looking at least 5 or 6 sermons on discipleship, how we are to live as disciples of Christ in this world. Well, that begs the question, what is a disciple? Well, simply put, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. We use the wording of Matthew 9, where Jesus gave the command to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew did. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Christ. A disciple is this, one who forsakes everything to follow Christ. There's our definition. It'd be good for us to memorize that. Probably I'll say it enough in the coming weeks that we will have it memorized together. But let's start now. That's what a disciple is. One who forsakes everything to follow Jesus Christ. We should understand tonight that discipleship did not die with these 12 disciples when they died. We should understand that all of God's people are disciples of Jesus Christ. Really what we're looking at is what it means to be Christians. We, of course, make a confession about Christ. We do that every Sunday in the evening service when we confess together the words of the Apostles' Creed. And we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God." We make a confession. There are things that we know about Jesus Christ. We talk about Him. We call Him, in fact, our Lord. But now there's a question that follows from all of that. It's this. Do we follow Him? Not just, do you believe in Him? That's important. Not just, what do you say about Him? What do you confess about Him? That's important. But this question's important too. Do we follow Him in the way that we live our lives? Understand how important that question is. It's important because what Jesus Himself says at the end of Matthew 25, when He says that in the day of judgment there will be many who say unto Him, "Lord, Lord," but they shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that was because they were not truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't love and they didn't serve others and give themselves in that. That's why this question is so important. It's important what we confess. It's important what we believe. But it's also important that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we consider in Matthew 9, verse 9, the call that Jesus gave to Matthew. When He gave him the command, follow Me. And we read there in that passage, amazingly, that Matthew put down his work as a tax collector and he followed Jesus. What we see in this passage tonight when it comes to discipleship is how it is that one becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we see from the passage that it's not anything that we do. It wasn't about what Matthew did. It was about what Jesus Christ did in calling Matthew powerfully and effectually. And so we begin this series by seeing then how it is that God works in us to make us disciples of Jesus Christ in our own lives. So with that in mind, we consider tonight called to be disciples. Called to be disciples. Notice first the command, secondly the elements, and then finally the cost. We have in Matthew 9, as I said, the amazing record of how Matthew was called to be a disciple of Christ. And it was with a simple yet powerful command, follow Me, and Matthew followed. This is not the only place where we find such a command given to men. We read earlier in Matthew chapter 4, of two other instances of that happening when other disciples were called. We read in Matthew 4 of Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee and He sees two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew. And Jesus said to them, come, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they put down their nets and they followed Jesus as disciples of His. Jesus went on a bit further there at the Sea of Galilee and He saw two more brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee. And they were called in a very similar way. We're not told the command that Jesus gave, but we read there at the end that they followed Jesus. So we can assume probably that Jesus gave that very same command, follow Me. And they did. They put down their nets. They left their father working there in preparation to go out fishing. And they followed Jesus. In Matthew 9, we have the account of the calling of Matthew. Now Matthew, who's also called Levi, Matthew was not a fisherman. Matthew, we know, was a tax collector. We could put before that a hated tax collector. The tax collectors were hated by the Jews. They were hated by the Jews for two reasons. The first was they were servants of Rome, and Rome was the enemy. And so these tax collectors were not Romans. They were Jews who were working for the Roman government collecting taxes. Now Matthew here was a tax collector, not that went from house to house collecting an income tax. Don't think of that in the terms of taxes that we pay, but instead he was probably a tax collector there on a highway. And so he sat in a booth there along the road collecting taxes from those who pass by with their goods. Now Jesus here calls him to be a disciple. Oh, second thing. There's another reason that they were hated. And the other reason that they were hated as tax collectors is because they stole. They charged higher taxes than they should have, and they pocketed the extra. And so the tax collectors were rich men. We know that, for example, from Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And then he vowed, after he was converted by the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay back double all of what he had taken from others. Well, Matthew, he was one of these tax collectors, hated by most of his fellow citizens. But when Jesus called him, he obeyed Christ and followed Him. But now here's the question. When Jesus called Matthew to follow Him, the same is true for Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. When Jesus called Matthew to follow Him, what was Jesus calling Matthew to do? Was Jesus simply calling Matthew to quit the job that he had before and take up a new position? Was Jesus saying to Matthew, Matthew, just follow me wherever I go. So that wherever I go, point A to point B, I want you to be with me. Was it a physical thing? The answer to that, no, it's much more than that. Was Jesus here inviting Matthew to consider taking a position? Was it as if Jesus was saying to Matthew, Matthew, I've got an opening on my staff here. I'd like you to take this position, but why don't you follow with me for a little while and see if this position suits you, and then you can make a decision about whether or not you want to keep on in this position. No, that's not what Jesus was asking Matthew to do. But instead, we should understand that Jesus is calling Matthew to faith and repentance. He's calling Matthew to faith and repentance. He's calling Matthew to believe and to repent of his sins, and then to follow Jesus spiritually through his life and ministry, and even after that as well. We know that Jesus was calling Matthew to faith and repentance because of the following verses. Notice what happens there. After Matthew follows Jesus, Matthew then invites Jesus to his home for a great feast with his tax collector friends and other people as well who are described as sinners. The Pharisees were appalled at this. They were visibly upset that Jesus was eating with publicans and sinners, tax collectors and sinners. And they said something to Jesus' disciples. Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Jesus hears that and responds in verse 13 at the end this way. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That not only refers to the other tax collectors there at Matthew's house, but it refers to Matthew himself. When Jesus called Matthew to follow him, he was calling Matthew to repent of his sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Beloved, by this very same call, Jesus commands us to be his disciples. He commands us to follow him. Discipleship did not end with these 12 men, but instead, all Christians, all of God's people, all those who are His chosen people, redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, they are called disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. You find that very idea in Mark 8, for example, verses 33 and 34, which tells us what discipleship is all about. A disciple is one who denies himself, takes up his cross, and follows him. We're going to look at those different elements of discipleship in this series. We're not going to look at all of that tonight. We'll be looking at parts of that tonight. But what that passage does is it shows to us is that discipleship is not just for a certain select few. But discipleship is for all of God's people. Remember what a disciple is. He's one who forsakes all to follow Christ. We as the people of God are called to this discipleship. But before we understand all the elements of that, we should see and understand tonight, this is why we are disciples of Jesus Christ. It's because of the saving call of Jesus Christ. You see, this command that God gave to Matthew, or that Jesus gave to Matthew, was a powerful command. It was a command that was effectual and powerful to take Matthew from his previous life of sin as a tax collector and to make him a follower of Jesus Christ. understand that what we have here is not an invitation from Jesus to Matthew, would you please follow me if you want? No, it's a command. Follow me. That's all it was. Jesus walked up to Matthew. Now, there may have been some relationship before. It doesn't mean there wasn't. There may have been. But he comes up to Matthew and says, follow me. And Matthew does. And it's because of the saving work of Jesus Christ within Matthew. What is this saving call that we have here? There are two elements to it. There's an outward word. So there were the words of Jesus. Follow me. But that's not all it was. There's also the inward work of the Holy Spirit. That's why it was that Matthew obeyed this command and followed Jesus. There was the powerful word of Jesus Christ and the inward working of the Holy Spirit. So also, that's the way in which we are called to discipleship, by this saving call. There's the outward call that comes from Jesus Christ. It's the call that we hear in the preaching of the gospel. There is a command that comes with the preaching of the gospel. And the command is, repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. In the preaching of the gospel, Jesus Christ calls every one of His disciples. He calls us to follow Him in the whole of our lives. But we understand that there are many who hear the word. They hear that call. They hear that command. But they do not follow Jesus Christ. They do not repent of their sins. They do not believe in Him. Jesus said about that, many are called, but few are chosen. It's because there's only the outward. But that's why there's the need for the inward for us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. The outward command is obeyed only when there is the inward work of the Holy Spirit. This explains why Matthew obeyed then the command of Jesus to follow Him. And this alone explains why you and I would say, would confess, and live that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. This alone explains why we know Him and why we love Him. Now that, of course, is all rooted in God's sovereign decree. It's all rooted in what God has done as choosing His people. Disciples of Jesus Christ are those who are chosen by God to be disciples. They are those who are redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. But now those who are chosen, those who are redeemed, are called powerfully by the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the working of the Holy Spirit, there's a radical break with sin in our lives so that we learn to follow Jesus in a right way. We become disciples of Jesus Christ because of the irresistible command of Jesus Christ. We have instances of that in Jesus' life and ministry. Think about that time when Lazarus had died, the good friend of Jesus. He'd heard that he was sick and purposely he waited to return so that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. Remember that powerful call of Jesus when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did. The command of the Lord Jesus Christ in calling us to be disciples of His is no more resistible than that command of Jesus Christ to Lazarus when he was in the grave. Jesus also explains this in John 6, verse 44. John 6 is that beautiful passage where Jesus describes Himself using one of the I am statements when He says, I am the bread of life. And Jesus as well emphasizes in that passage the importance of believing on Him, and the importance of coming even to Him. But notice what Jesus says in verse 44 of John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That word draw there is what we're talking about here. You can say, as it were, that the Lord Jesus Christ drew Matthew powerfully and effectually by the work of His Spirit in him so that he obeyed the command of Christ. And that is what Jesus Christ does in us as well. And this is what explains why we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We're reminded here in this Word of God then that we can do nothing to become disciples of Christ. But we do see and understand as well that we have a responsibility, a very real calling to believe in Him and to repent of our sins and to live as disciples of Christ. But that is all rooted in the work of Jesus Christ Himself. There may be times where we would like to make disciples of Christ. Or we as parents would like to do that with our children. Where there are those in our own lives who are not believers, but we would desire them to be believers. And we would like it if we could convince them in some way to believe in Christ and be followers of Christ. We understand we cannot do that. It's the work of Christ. It's the work of Christ in us. It's through the command, but it's by the inward work of the Holy Spirit. Now this helps us to understand then really what discipleship is. And so as we've understood tonight in this first point of the sermon, how it is that we become disciples of Christ, we want to build on that. We want to build on that and understand all of what is found in that command to follow me and what is then included in the activity of disciples and following Jesus Christ. Four elements that we look at tonight. These aren't exhaustive, but I believe that these really cover what it is to be a disciple of Christ. We're going to be developing this more throughout the series. But four things we look at as elements of discipleship. Remember how we're looking at it. This is what Jesus commands when He says, follow me. And this is what then we are called to do, how we are called to live as disciples of Christ. The first is love. Disciples of Jesus Christ are called by Jesus Christ Himself to love Jesus Christ fervently and passionately. The idea is that when we are made by Jesus Christ to be His disciples, we are brought into a living relationship with Him. Matthew wasn't just part of some secret service of Jesus Christ to just be with Him and provide some kind of protection. No, Matthew, along with the other disciples, they were friends of Christ. They knew Christ's love for them. And they loved Jesus Christ passionately. They didn't always live that. But remember what their confession was. We won't abandon you. We won't forsake you. We'll follow you no matter what. Now they did later on. But that's where their heart was at. Because they were brought into a relationship of love with Jesus Christ. We understand then the same for us. Disciples of Jesus Christ are called to love Him passionately and fervently. And disciples of Jesus Christ do this because, as Romans 5 verse 5 tells us, the love of Jesus Christ is implanted in our hearts by the working of the Holy Spirit. Understand how important this is to discipleship and why I put it as the first thing. It's the first thing. Loving Christ. That comes out later in the life of one of Jesus' disciples. Remember that after Jesus arose from the dead, Jesus asked Peter. He put the question to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter responded that yes, he loved Jesus. But now you have to understand something. If you remember something about that passage, you'll remember that there are two different words for love used in it. Jesus, when he asks the question, uses the stronger word for love, agape. Simon, do you love me? And Peter answers with the weaker word for love, phileo love, more of a friendly love. And he says, yea, I love you. He answered that way because he was so aware of his own sin of denying Jesus three times, although Jesus told him that this would happen. And so he didn't dare use that agape word love, that strong word for love in the New Testament. But he should have. And when that question is put to us, that's the answer we should give. Not a weaker love. No, we love Jesus. But what that emphasizes is that a disciple of Jesus Christ loves Jesus with a powerful, passionate, and fervent love. The question is important for you and I. Jesus puts it to us as his disciples. Do you love me? Now remember, he commands it. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we respond, yes, Jesus, I love you. But that's an important question for us tonight. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Him more than anything else? Do we love Him with a passionate and fervent love? Remember the summary of the law. What's the summary of the law? Love God. And that includes, of course, loving Jesus Christ. When you love God, you love His Son. That's the summary of the law for us. That's what Jesus calls us to as His disciples. And remember about this love is not something that we have to do. I think I've used the example before of a husband bringing flowers to his wife on their anniversary. And she's all excited about getting the flowers, and he says, in that flat, monotone voice, I love you. I got you flowers because I love you. I had to do this. It was our anniversary. That would take all the joy of the woman receiving those flowers. You had to? That's not the way we say it to Jesus either, is it? Well, Jesus, yeah, we love you. We have to. And it was those who know His love, His perfect love, His unchanging love, the love in which He gave the whole of Himself for us. We respond to that love and say, Jesus, we love you. We love you always. We love you fervently. We love you passionately. And I'll follow you in that love because you have put that love in my heart. The love that we have for Jesus must be such a passionate and a thankful love. That's the love that disciples have for Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to this. He commands it. And we live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that first of all. Secondly, there's repentance. We noticed this briefly, but now we want to develop this more. Jesus calls His disciples to repentance. And His disciples are those who repent. The idea being that this repentance is our response to the reality of our sin. Disciples know that they are sinners. We are sinners, even as disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciples of Christ are not sinless. We sin in everything that we do. We should never think that as disciples of Christ, we're perfect or nearly perfect. We are all sinners struggling with sin, struggling with outward sins, struggling with those inward sins of pride, selfishness, especially. And this is exactly why repentance is necessary for us. It's necessary for us on a daily basis. Not just maybe four times a year when we have preparatory for the Lord's Supper and we examine ourselves. No, daily basis. Looking at our lives, examining ourselves, repenting of our sins. Those who are disciples of Jesus Christ know that they are sinners because Jesus has opened their eyes. Matthew 9, the tax collectors. Those men knew their sin. It wasn't what the Pharisees said. at least not in part. But they knew themselves to be thieves and robbers. And they were sorry for what they had done. They were sorry for their fraud and their stealing. We have no reason to believe that these tax collectors tried to cover up anything. They didn't blame shift. They didn't make any excuses. They acknowledge their sin and repented. Disciples of Jesus Christ are known outwardly by this response to sin. Pay attention. Not blame shifting. Not pointing the finger at someone else like Adam and Eve did in the very beginning. And Adam said, it's the woman that you gave me. And the woman couldn't wait to point the finger at the serpent that God had created. And in the end, they were pointing at God Himself. They were blame shifting. No, disciples aren't known for their blame shifting. They're not known for all of their excuses that they have for why they committed the sins that they commit in their own lives. But instead, disciples of Christ are known for this response. Humble repentance. Repentance with a godly sorrow. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 speaks of this. Worldly sorrow is a sorrow, but it's not a right sorrow. A worldly sorrow is obsessed with keeping what one wants. It's obsessed with what is lost, especially one's reputation. But other things can be lost as well because of sin. People can be sorry because of what they lose. Kids can be. But adults can be the same way. That's not a true godly sorrow. A godly sorrow is a brokenness because of sin against God. And that's why with that sorrow, there's no blame shifting. There's no excuses. I've done this. And I shouldn't have. I know better. When there is the love of Jesus Christ that lives in our hearts, this is what is going to be reflected and shown when we sin, and we do sin. But also, this true repentance is reflected in change. Change that takes place, fleeing from sin and doing what is right. For example, Matthew, he couldn't just return back to his old ways of stealing from people. That would show that he wasn't really a disciple of Jesus Christ. He really didn't love Jesus Christ. He really wasn't sorry for his sin. He was simply sorry for getting caught. But those who are sorry for their sin then turn from that sin. They hate that sin. They flee from that sin. That was true of Matthew. When he was called to follow Jesus, he was called to repent of his sins in this way. So also, that's what we are called to do. To repent of our sins. Now here's why that's part of following Jesus. This is what we know about Jesus. Jesus is holy and sinless as the Son of God. He never took one step in a sinful direction. He never had one sinful thought in His head. Can you imagine? We can't. But we know that that is true for Him. So anyone who is a follower of Jesus is going to work then to put sin in the past, put sin behind them, flee from that sin and run from that sin. But in doing so, what we run to is the path of obedience. That's the third element of discipleship. Obedience. When Jesus commands us to follow Him, what we're called to is to obey Him in our lives. And we do that through the powerful work of the Spirit within us. Again, the effectual command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to do this. The word follow is a command that with which Jesus calls us to obey. The same thing for Matthew. Now Matthew is called to obey Jesus Christ in his life. He was called to obey Him with an obedience motivated by love. That's how we have to see our obedience too. Not have to. But I want to. I love to. Because what's most important to me is pleasing this one who I follow, and he is pleased always with the way of obedience. Obedience is always motivated by love and always motivated by gratitude. Not self-glorification. Not trying to earn something. Not just looking good on the outside so others take notice. What that means is that in the power of the Holy Spirit, disciples are those who surrender themselves wholly and completely to the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the question for us. Do we love Jesus with that kind of love that we completely surrender ourselves to His authority, as that authority is found right here in His Word? We're going to see that later on in the series, and we're going to call attention to this specifically because it's so important. It's not that we don't know it. We constantly need the reminders. A disciple of Christ who follows Jesus Christ obeys Him, submits to His authority. He not only hears His Word, but He's a doer of that Word as well. That's a wise follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship is about everything in our lives then, isn't it? It's about everything. Kids, young people, it's for you at home and when you go to school. You obey your parents, you obey your teachers, you're kind to others. Why? Because you're a disciple of Christ, and that's what disciples do. In our marriages, we love the spouse that God has given to us. Why? Not because of how she is or how he is, making our love dependent upon that. No. That's not biblical love in marriage. But we love the spouse God has given because Jesus Christ calls us to. And He calls us to do that in a very real and particular way as a husband or as a wife. We're called as parents to love our children, our young people, in a very real and particular way. And we do that because we love Jesus Christ. We're followers of Him. We're going to submit to His authority in this part of our lives as well. Not trying to control everything, but to be faithful and trust that He will accomplish His purpose. Disciples of Jesus Christ, hear this command of Christ. Follow me! And that includes obey. And we strive, we learn to obey our Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourth, commitment and dedication. You cannot love Jesus without being committed to Him. Where there's a lack of commitment in this love, there's going to be deviation from the path of obeying and repenting when we sin. In this love, we're committed to loving and serving Him and Him only, not committed to Jesus and something else. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot serve God and mammon. He knows the way we are. He knows what we try to do. What we try to do is have it all. I want Jesus and I want everything else. But disciples of Jesus Christ are called to serve and love Jesus and Jesus only. And everything else in our lives must fall under that. Disciples of Christ are willing as well to suffer because that's part of being committed to Jesus Christ. Think of that for Matthew. Matthew was a rich tax collector. Jesus said, "Follow me." That meant the end of that position, the end of that job. There was a new work for Matthew to do. But that did not include riches. That included giving up everything that was part of that life that he had as a tax collector. Not only a change in his life, but then giving up all of that riches to serve Christ so that there were times when they didn't have food to eat with them even on the Lord's Day, and they had to pick corn out of the fields just to have food for that time of the day. What a great change had to take place in Matthew's own life, but he was committed to that as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's true of disciples. They're committed to serving Christ forever. You understand that about your relationship with Christ? You're committed in a relationship forever. It's a marriage that lasts forever. And so we say, I will go wherever you call me to go. I will do whatever you call me to do, not to earn something, but because we love Him. We're committed to serving Him in our lives. And the question has to come, is that true of us? Is that our love for Christ? We so love Him that we're committed to doing whatever He calls us to do. That's not easy. It's not easy because there's that part of discipleship which is denying self. What I want. What I feel like doing. Jesus says, no, that's not what life is about. It's about following me, being committed to me in that love. So we see here the basic elements of discipleship that Jesus Christ calls us to and that we begin to walk in as His disciples because of His saving work. But one last thing we have to look at tonight and understand this about discipleship, following from what we've just said, there's a cost. You must understand that obeying the command to follow Jesus is costly. We need to hear that in our day. We need to hear that in our day because there is wrong thinking about this. There are so many who think that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is only about praying a prayer. It's only about making a confession. And that's all really that it is. There's the thinking that way in the church world today where grace, is really cheap. It's really cheap. And that's a struggle, especially in prosperous times. That all that is really needed is believing in Jesus without undergoing a radical transformation that true conversion produces. There's the kind of preaching in the church world today of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline and communion without confession. It's cheap grace. It's grace without discipleship. We need to see and understand tonight that discipleship is not easy. Or to put it in those terms, discipleship is not cheap. It is costly. True discipleship is much different than all of that thinking. And the danger for us too is that we think that it's just about what I believe. It's just about the confession that I make. We believe the truth. We confess the truth. Now don't get me wrong. It's important. And it's a gift of God's grace that we believe and know truth. But discipleship emphasizes to us that there's something more. That we're followers of Jesus Christ. And it's this way, put in the words of Jesus' own parables. What we have in the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and for the sake of it, a man will gladly sell all that he has to have it. The treasures of the kingdom are like a pearl of great price, for which a man will sell all he has to buy it. Those who are disciples of Jesus Christ are willing to do whatever it takes to put sin behind them. They'll cut out their eyes. They'll cut off their hands. If that would mean a better ability to obey Jesus Christ and serve Him in life. There must be radical amputation of sin where discipleship is found. Disciples of Jesus Christ willingly put their sins in the past to honor and to love Jesus Christ. It can be costly. I'm not just talking about the things of this earth. It can be costly when it comes to what it is that we desire in our own hearts and in our lives. And disciples are willing to get rid of all of that because we see and know that being disciples of Jesus Christ is higher and better than anything else. There's that where we're at? Do we have that kind of love and commitment? Now there's the Word of Jesus Christ that comes and He says, follow Me. Two easy words. From a certain perspective, it doesn't get any simpler than that. We begin to look at tonight what those words include. But then we see how difficult it is. Can't do it in my own strength. I need the Spirit of Christ. Not only to bring that change that I follow Christ, but I grow in my following of Jesus Christ. You see, those who follow are willing then to take up their cross and follow Him no matter what the cost is. No matter how much we might be hurt along the way. Because Jesus Christ is worthy of such sacrifice. May the Lord Jesus Christ, calling us tonight, now strengthen us to live that in the rest of this day and in this new week. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we plead with Thee for grace and strength now to live what we've heard. The command has been given to us. Follow Christ. We pray for strength now. The strength of the Holy Spirit that we would do that. Especially give us strength where we're struggling to do that, Father. We're struggling to put off sin. We're struggling to repent as we should. We're struggling to obey. Or we're struggling to give up those things that become so dear and precious to ourselves. Give us strength that we would love Christ with a passionate and fervent love that is committed to Him in all of life. So may we go forward in this new week, remembering this is what we are. We're disciples of Christ who are willing to give up everything to follow Him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.